The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews 9:22. Without the blood, you and I would never, ever be forgiven. That blood was a pure blood. That blood was an innocent blood. That blood was a powerful blood. That blood was a pure in every way. And Jesus paid the price for us that we could have life eternal. We're thankful for that. You see in front of this table, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." We come to this table today to remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary. You know, sometimes I think we at our church, I think we kind of, you know, we make the Lord's Supper a special time. Some churches do it every Sunday. The Bible didn't say how often to do it. It says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. If we did it every Sunday, I believe that it would become just some commonplace thing to take place. But I pray for our church, there would never be a time it's commonplace. Every song we've sung today has been about the cross, about the blood of Jesus. And we focused on that. Now we focus on this table. The Lord invites us to remember what he did for us. As I shared with you earlier, we have two ordinances in the church. That is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Neither one of them have saving power. You can be dunked under this water 100 times, that won't save you. You can take this Lord's Supper 50 or 100 times, it will not save you. But it's symbolic of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. When someone's lowered in that water, it represents he died and was buried. When they're raised up out of that water, it means he was resurrected. According to Romans 6:4, that we have been buried in his likeness and we've been raised to walk in newness of life, praise God. But the Lord's Supper invites us to come to remember the price that he paid for us, folks. We could not pay that price. We could not afford salvation. We could not be good enough to have salvation. There's nothing you and I could do. It's what Jesus did. And the way we're going to heaven is not in our righteousness, because the Bible says in Isaiah, our righteousness is but filthy rags. But we go to heaven because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. That's very important. We remember that. Throughout the scripture, God's people are reminded. Have you ever thought about what are the last words that people might say? William Carey, the great missionary, said, I quote, "When I am gone, speak less of Carey and more of Carey's Savior." Boy, that's what we ought to do. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, the founders of Methodism and the Methodist Church, she said this in her death, "Children, children, I'm ready to go be with the Lord. Will you please sing a song of praise to God?" What a way to go, amen, is to sing a song of praise. And I've done that many a time, been there by the bedside of someone that's about to pass, and their family gathers around and they sing a song of praise, because it is a celebration of Christian's homegoing. The Apostle Paul, in the last written book that he writes, an inspired book in 2 Timothy to young Timothy, 30 years younger than him, gave some last words in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." But you know, also the Bible tells us that Christ had some final words from the cross. In fact, we find 7 sayings of Jesus from the cross. I wished I had time to preach on all 7, but I do not today. But I want to mention to them, and then I want to bring you back to some. First of all, we see a word of intercession. In Luke 23:34, as he hung from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want you to think about that just a minute. Think about that. Remember, he said this about the ones who shouted, "Crucify him," the ones who beat him with rods, the ones who spat upon him, the ones who mocked him, the ones who put a crown of thorns on his head and the blood gushed forth, the ones who put the nails in his hand and his feet. And he says to the Father, Father, will you forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a prayer, what a word of intercession, but also we have a word of inspiration. In Luke 23:43, it says, remember there were thieves, one on one side and one on the other side. One thief was railing on Jesus. He says, hey, if you be the Christ, if you're what they say, just help us get down here and have victory over this. And the other thief on the cross was humble before God. He said, would you remember me? And remember what the Lord said? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a word of inspiration. I got to get my water. I forgot it. I got so excited on that song, I just came up here without my water this morning. We were preaching at the prison, by the way, the other night. And praise God for those who met the Lord. And we were at a little convenience store. And they had an Ozark of water. It was a 2-liter in a big fat jug. And I was going to bring it this morning and set it right down there. But I said, I better not do that. Those guys can testify to that fact. But praise God for his goodness. Boy, I tell you, the grace of God. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? He gives people a second chance. But what an inspiration. One railed on him and he said today. By the way, I believe it was that day he entered into heaven. He didn't have to pass by way of a baptistry, by the way. He didn't have to pass by way of good works, you know. It was by grace through faith that he got saved, and that's how we're saved. Thirdly, we see Jesus give us a word of interest when he looks down at his mother in John 19:26-27, and he says to her and his beloved disciple, he said, behold your son and behold your mother. He wanted to take care, even in the midst of pain. He wanted to care for his mother's needs through his beloved disciple, the apostle John. And by the way, that's how our Lord operated. He was always concerned about others, and so must we. Fourthly, we see a word of that isolation. In Matthew 27:46, you know these words where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? May I tell you that the only time in the scripture the Lord asked why. In the wilderness when he was tempted by Satan, he didn't ask why. In the time when he had the denial of Peter, one of his inner circle, he did not ask why. When he went in that Garden of Gethsemane and went a little farther and prayed, he came back 3 times and he found his disciples asleep. He didn't ask why, but on the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What had happened is, listen to me, all of your sin and my sin, all of our ugly sin, every sin that had been committed, every sin that was being committed, and every sin that would be committed was placed on Jesus on the cross. And our God, I want to tell you this morning, he is holy. He is just. He's holy. And he couldn't stand to look on his own son to see those ugly sins of ours. And Jesus from the cross, that word of isolation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I'm thankful for 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says this, he hath made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Boy, aren't you glad that we have righteousness through him? And then we see a word of identification. Our Lord was human. He was fully divine, fully human. And from the cross he said, I thirst, in John 19:28. And then one of the last words he said, and we're going to go back to the word I want to see today, was a word of invocation. He said, Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having done so, he gave up the ghost. But I want you to turn, if you have a copy of the scripture today, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I want you to see a word of invitation that he gives us. It's not a long word. It's three words, but it's one word in the Greek language. Beginning in verse 30 of chapter 19 of John. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. By the way, that word is the word tetelestai in the Greek language. Tetelestai. The payment was paid in full. Jesus paid the price that he did not owe, and you and I owed a price we could not pay. But thank God that he was willing to pay the price that we could have eternal life. May I tell you that I imagine at this point, his disciples thought he was finished. They were the ones who went back to fishing. They were the ones that went back to where they had been. But they had thought all hope was lost when their Savior was crucified on the cross. But praise God, just like he said, Jesus was going to rise again. He said, you can destroy this temple, and 3 days it'll be risen again. They thought he was talking about the actual temple. He was talking about his body, because in the scripture it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I share with you and I this morning, he said these words to tetelestai, it is finished. May I tell you today, he didn't say, I am finished. Praise God for that, amen. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. This was in the third person. It was in the indicative mood, by the way. That means an action that is absolutely certain. Praise God for that. The work that the Lord came to do, the reason he came to the cross, he came on this earth, he was destined to die. By the way, even in that lowly manger, and then when he went to the house where the wise men came to the house as he was a young boy, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was to be given for the body to be prepared for burial. In other words, not only was he going to be king with the gold, frankincense, he was going to be our high priest. They gave him myrrh, meaning that he was destined to die. He came, listen to me, I want you to hear this day. It was not God's plan B, he was God's plan A. He knew that man would fall, he knew that we would sin, and he paid the perfect sacrifice for us on the cross. And yes, we did owe that sin. We owed that debt, and thank God he paid the debt. And the price of the debt was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This morning you read in our bulletin, 1 Peter, it says, we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that he gave his blood for us that we could know life eternal? See, there are consequences to sin. I went to jury duty last Monday. And I think the defense decided they didn't want a pastor on that jury because they wanted to know whether you believed in judgment or whether you believed that there people need to pay the price, or do you believe in rehabilitation? And you know what? I spoke up and I said, listen, there's consequences to sin. There is, amen. Now, we might sin and we say, well, you know, I just had a little sin. Well, let me tell you what, your sin not only affects you, it affects others around you. We must understand that God looks on sin very seriously. So Jesus died on the cross for us. It was something he did for us, that he would pay that price. By the way, it's in the passive voice in the Greek language, which means an action that one has done for another, okay? He did it for us because we could not do it ourselves. Your blood and my blood was not good enough. By the way, you remember in the Old Testament? What did they do? They had to keep bringing a lamb. They had to keep bringing that turtle dove. They had to keep bringing that sacrifice whenever they, a sin offering, a grain offering, or another offering, a burnt offering. But I want you to know the high priest, and you've heard me say this before, he would go once a year into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. He'd go in there and they would have bells on the bottom of his robe and pomegranate. And they could hear those bells still ringing. And they could hear the pomegranate, those seeds. They could still hear the rattle of those. As long as they heard that, praise God, they knew that they were going to be forgiven for another year. Because if the priest, high priest, would have went in there with his sin, he would have died right there on the spot. Boy, aren't you glad we don't have that today? We'd have a lot of ambulances outside the church every Sunday. We couldn't have enough ambulances. But listen to me. That priest would go in there, the high priest, he would go in there and he'd sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant where Aaron's rod that had budded was in there showing the power of God. There was the golden manna showing the provision of God. And then there was the Ten Commandments showing that God required for us to follow those commandments. Dr. Queen preached last week, you remember, on the rich young ruler. That rich young ruler, he committed spiritual suicide because he rejected Jesus. His riches were more important. He did not want to say, Jesus is my Lord. I want you to know it was in the perfect tense also. Which means an action that began in the past and it continues to the present and will continue to the end. I've got good news. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago has the power today to forgive anyone and everyone in this place of their sins. It can touch to the uttermost. It isn't for a particular group. The Lord didn't die for people that were rich or poor. He didn't die for people that were black or brown or white. He didn't do that. The gospel is available to everyone. The gospel means good news. And you and I can receive that good news because Jesus paid the price. It is finished. May I tell you that it was a prisoner word? A prisoner in jail would be there for a crime that they had committed, and by the way, they had to pay for that crime, but someone would come and pay the price. And the jailer would come and he had on a parchment, he would write, tetelestai, their payment was paid in full, their debt was paid in full, and he would nail it to the door. And that's how the prisoner would be released. May I tell you this morning, you and I, before we came to Christ, we were in the slave market of sin. We were prisoners to our own self. In fact, the book of Ephesians puts it this way, in Ephesians 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were doomed. We were dominated by Satan. But I love Ephesians 2 where it says, but God, who was rich in his mercy, wherewith he loved us. May I tell you that prisoner was set free. The entire price of redemption had been paid. May I tell you, nothing else could sacrifice. And for us, nothing else. May I tell you, you're not saved because of baptism. You're not saved because of good works. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's how we receive salvation. It was a servant's word, that tetelestai. When a task was completed, the servant owed his master and his assigned a task. He completed the task, and he would go up there and he would say, "Tetelestai, what you master told me to do, I have done." May I tell you, that's what Jesus did. You remember that great intercessory prayer of Jesus in John 17, verse 4? He says, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do," as he had that great intercessory prayer with the Father. He said, "I have paid that price. I did what I needed to do." And by the way, that's what Jesus did. He was here for the Father's will. He said in that Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, but may your will be done." He understood his mission. In fact, whenever he's sharing over there with Zacchaeus, you remember over in Luke 19, Zacchaeus had climbed up a sycamore tree and the Lord came by, There's this big crowd of people. Zacchaeus was short. Went up, climbed up a tree, saying, "Well, I could see him. I've heard about this Jesus." And boy, there's this throng of people all around. And guess what? In that throng of people, the Lord knew Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." Man, he probably almost fell out of that tree. Listen, the Lord who knew Zacchaeus' name knows your name today. Just like was preached last Sunday, he knows your DNA. He knows everything about you, and he will call you by name to himself today. That's what he did for us, praise God. It is a servant's word, but it's also a priestly word. A perfect sacrifice had to be paid. See, in the Old Testament, they came to worship, the priest would examine that lamb. It had to be without spot or blemish. He would take that lamb and he would first examine the mouth of that lamb. Next, he would go and examine the eyelids of that lamb. And then he would also look at the ears and the hoofs of that lamb, looking for any imperfections. And then he would rub his hand over the wool of that lamb, seeing if there was any dark hair in there whatsoever. It had to be pure to be sacrificed there by the high priest. May I tell you something? I've got good news. Tetelestai, Jesus paid in full. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And one day when we go to heaven, we're going to see the Lamb on the throne. Praise God. But until then, we must remember our price of salvation did not come cheap. It came at the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you today, folks, that it is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. You and I can have forgiveness of our sins today. Not only will we have forgiveness of our sins, we can have access, because this table tells us we can have access to the very throne room of God. Remember when Jesus died, between the holy place and the holy of holies, there's this thick veil. Only the high priest could go in. But when Jesus died there at Calvary, the veil was rent from top to bottom, meaning every one of us in this room today have access to the Father. We have access to the Lord. That's the reason the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may have help in our time of need." In other words, there is forgiveness of sin. There is access to the Father. But may I tell you, there is eternal life. The blood gives life. Without the blood, there's no life. You remember that high priest? Every year he had to keep doing it over and over. The book of Hebrews says Jesus went once into that holy place to make atonement for the sins of the people. I want every head bowed as our deacons come forward this morning. Bible says that this is the time of explanation. We're going to explain about this bread and about this cup. as we pass it out, but it's also a time of examination. We're to examine our hearts. If there's anything that's in our heart that's not of God, we need to deal with it now. While we're passing out these elements, deal with it right now. If you have any unforgiveness, forgive. The word forgive means to release. By the way, Jesus, in that Sermon on the Mount, says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. We got to release people. Don't hold them hostage. By the way, not only are you holding them hostage, you're holding yourself hostage. I'm going to encourage you today to let the Holy Spirit search your heart right now and deal with any and every sin that he shows you this morning. Father, we thank you for this time that we can partake of the Lord's Supper. I pray it would be a sacred, holy time for us. And it would be a time that we would remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And I want to thank you from the cross, those seven sayings from the cross. One of those main sayings, he said, "It is finished." The price was paid in full. Redemption was complete through Calvary. And we thank you for that today. May we never forget what Jesus did for us at Calvary. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Jen continues to play. Last time I encouraged you to read the word about what Jesus did. Go to the book of Matthew this morning as we search our hearts and read the price he paid for us at Calvary, folks. Read what he went through for us that we could have life eternal. About how he died for us and what he went through for us. I encourage you to go to chapter 27, beginning of verse 31. Read. bread that you hold in your hand represents the body of Jesus. That body, as I mentioned earlier, but I want to mention again, was spat upon, was mocked. They put blindfold on him and hit him with rods and said, "Prophesy who hit you." They put a crown of thorns, and those thorns weren't just little bitty thorns on a rose bush. Those were long thorns that when they placed it down his head, more blood came forth. They took a cat of nine tails, a whip made pieces of sharpened bone and sharpened metal. One soldier would be on one side and one on the other side. And 39 times they whipped him. Many a man would not come off the scourging post alive. They made him carry that cross as far as he could. And then they put those nails in his hands and in his feet. They thrust a spear in his side. Folks, you and I can't even begin. I know there's been motion pictures and things about Christ, but they cannot begin to explain the agony that our Savior went through for us. I pray we will never forget that. Every day we live, we will not forget the price that Jesus paid for us. On that night, he was with his disciples. They thought they were going to gather for the Passover. But he was really gathering them together to institute the Lord's Supper, a new covenant. And he took the bread and he broke it, representing his broken body. And they blessed it. Brother Ralph, would you bless the bread, please?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before this remembrance table this morning, Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we never forget what Jesus did for us, Lord. The pain that he went through, dear Heavenly Father, for us. He took on our sins, Lord, that we might have salvation, Lord. Father, I just pray that everyone here today has searched their heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they truly remember Jesus and what he did, Lord. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for. Our families, our loved ones, Lord, our jobs and everything else, Lord, that has been given to us, Lord. But the one and the most important thing that we should remember is Jesus and what he did for us, Lord. So, Father, just be with us. Help us each day, Lord, to remember what you did. Not just on this occasion, Lord. But every day, Lord, we should be thankful for you.
Yes, Lord.
We just pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
He took the bread, he broke it, and they blessed it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." cup you hold in your hand represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us at Calvary. As I shared earlier, this blood was innocent blood. He committed not one sin. In fact, the Bible tells the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he was tempted in all ways as we were, but he was without sin. It was pure blood, the perfect sacrifice. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way: neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? May I tell you, the blood was powerful. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that perfect sacrifice, that his very life's blood he gave for us, that was the ransom price. The writer Paul, as he wrote to the church at Ephesus, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. May we never forget that. That night he took the cup and he also blessed the cup. Brian, would you bless the cup today?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious blood that you sent with your Son to save us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that it was perfect blood and that you had no sin. Lord, just help us to remember this, that you shed your blood for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On that same night, he took the blood and he passed it around, or the cup, and passed it around to his disciples and said, take, drink. This is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. This do in remembrance of me. And that night, they sang a song, and we're going to sing now. Would you join us as Brother Jake leads us into the presence of God?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
This morning we have partaken of the Lord's Supper. This table speaks to us of what Jesus did for us. But see, we must respond to him this morning. For some here today, you maybe have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Savior and Lord. You know about him in your head. You believe there is a God. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose from the grave. But that's not enough just to believe. The book of James says even the demons believed and trembled. They knew who Jesus was. You can read the scripture and it declares it. But today we invite you to come and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Step out by faith and come take a pastor by the hand. Say, "Pastor, I need Jesus." And we're going to sit down here on the front chairs and we're going to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've already made that decision. You need to come forward this morning and make that public and follow the Lord in baptism. That's the first act of obedience. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home and you've been coming and maybe this is where God wants you to be a part of a church home. We invite you to come today to be a part of our fellowship and say yes to church membership because God wants you to be a part of a local body of believers. He died for the church. He gave himself for it. So we invite you to come. But maybe today in this place, maybe there's someone that knows the Lord, but maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe you need to just come to this altar this morning and say, "Lord, I need to get back on the right track. I need to get back serving you and loving you and being faithful to your church." Maybe God's calling you to rededicate your life to him. Whatever that call is, you feel that tug in your life right now, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that draws us. We don't draw ourselves, he draws us. And today he's drawing you to him. Let's stand together.